This is The Gauge with host Chance Conradud.
Are you freaking serious? It's Conrado. This is The Gauge, episode number 2. I am Chance Conradud. On this episode of the podcast, we've got Kai Hamilton, the bull rider from Down Under, and his buddy Colton Fritzland. Both are up and coming this year in the PRCA. Kai is sitting third in the world, and Mr. Fritzland is sitting number 16, and we expect to see them both at Vegas. But this is a relatively short episode, but it was a lot of fun, and we wish these guys the best. Check it out. Real quick, Kai, Colton, what have you guys been doing since this coronavirus? It's like, you can't rodeo, and you both were kind of on a roll before all this happened, it seemed like, and now you're kind of just sitting there not knowing what to do. I mean, tell me what's been up with you guys.
Not much, I guess, sitting around doing nothing like usual bull riders.
I've just been trying to get on as many practice bulls as I can and keep in shape and, you know, staying healthy, I guess. And,
yeah.
And just keep up on everything so then when it does roll around, we're ready to go.
So the difference is Kai's been doing absolutely nothing and you've been staying in shape riding bulls?
Yeah.
Kai, you're sitting third in the world. What's going on, buddy?
Well, I guess it was time for a holiday.
That's an Australian term. Time for a holiday. Did I do that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So how do you guys know each other? I know you guys are buddies, but tell us kind of the story there of you guys' friendship.
We met just college rodeoing, I guess.
Met at them college rodeos and kind of hit it off there. And then this year we decided to kind of travel this year throughout the year and kind of just hang out back and forth. He'll come to Snyder and just see each other every once in a while and just
right.
go rodeoing. Stay in communication with entering rodeos and stuff like that every day. And
right.
Kind of little team going on.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you enter yourself and then you enter yourself or you guys kind of help each other out there?
He does all the entering.
He does it all.
I got it easy.
Who coached you on entering rodeos?
I kind of worked out myself.
Really?
Yeah, pretty much. It seems funny that the guy from his own country and a guy from another country comes over here and I stay in there.
Yeah, what's going on? You should be helping your buddy.
Oh, I
do.
I help him. I just make sure he enters them. He's the one who calls in and he enters us.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess that means Kai's really intelligent. He talks like he's really intelligent. If you look at him, you would never think that he's a bull rider. He looks like he probably should be like studying physics at an Ivy League college or something, not bull riding. But yeah, doesn't he? Doesn't he look like he's the smartest kid in the world?
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's better than looking dumb and acting dumb, too.
You looked right at Colton when you said
yeah.
that.
Yeah. What was that supposed to mean?
I guess I just said it right then.
Well, I could see what kind of friendship you guys have right off the bat. When did you come over to the U.S., Kai?
I first come here when I was 15, in 2015 for junior high school finals. And then I come for a month in 2017 for the youth bull riding finals and just done some amateur rodeos. And then in 2018 in July, I come over here to start college.
I see. You know what's kind of funny about your accent? What? It's like, tell me if you hear this, Colton, but it's like half Australian, half American, half country. Right? It's like, g'day. You notice that?
Oh, yeah.
Is that intentional? Did it start like that? Or were you like, I kind of want to blend in here.
No, I don't even think I talk any different to when I did at home.
It'll go the other way around, though. I'll start talking like him when I travel.
You do?
Oh, yeah, all the time. Like, their slang, it's horrible.
Like what?
Like mate and...
Righto.
Right. Right.
So you come over. See, I just did it. You come over. I don't even think I can do it. But you came over in 2015. When did you start bull riding, though?
I didn't start riding like steers until I was like 11. I kind of was interested in it when I was like 4 or 5, but never really got into it. And then when I was 11, I really wanted to do it. So I just started riding steers.
What kind of triggered you to want to do it?
I was watching a lot of bull riding videos, at home, and a lot of my family, they're all into rodeo and stuff like that. So it was something I was always interested in. I just didn't really want to do it.
Yeah.
Until I was older.
That makes sense. Like for Colton and I, like rodeo is like a national pastime for like pretty much, I mean, you're from Rifle, Colorado. Mm-hmm. It's like in Rifle, I'm sure you've been to there's not a lot more to do out there than rodeo.
Definitely.
You know, it's, yeah. I mean, there's real small football, and small wrestling's a big thing in Colorado, but I guess as an uneducated person in Australia, what is like the level of rodeo, you know, as far as excitement, what kind of publicity does it get? Is it like one of the smallest things?
Probably not the smallest things, but it'd be pretty close.
Really?
Like, I mean, it wasn't very often I'd get to do two events a week. So usually it was like one rodeo a weekend, and you might do 3 weeks in a row and then have a week off. And then every now and again, like on long weekends, we'd get to do maybe 3 that weekend, but that was usually about it. It was pretty scarce, and I always tried to practice as much as I could because I never got to enter a whole lot.
Makes sense.
While I was at home, yeah.
Yeah, and Colton, you didn't have that problem with you know, Colorado High School Rodeo. You've got a lot more access. But what kind of puts you, like, what's your background? I mean, I got to assume it's ranching and things like that, but.
Definitely, yeah. I kind of grew up in a rodeo family. You know, my dad, he bulldogged, you know, grandpa, he rode broncs and everything. So I kind of grew up in a rodeo family, and it was kind of a given that I was going to, you know, rodeo my life. And I did it all when I was younger. You know, I roped and rode bulls, and then I just, you know, started liking to ride bulls a lot better, and I was a lot better at it. So that's when I kind of got serious about it, when I was about 11 or 12 years old. You know, injuries kind of started adding up, and I was like, you know what, if I'm going to do this, I better do it full-fledged, and just went off from there pretty much.
Makes sense, yeah. Yeah, that's kind of the route it seems like most people take, as you're kind of raising it and you go. Is your family, would you call them a rodeo family back home?
My mom and dad, maybe not so much, because my mom, she wasn't really didn't really grow up around it or nothing. But
sure,
my dad did, and all my dad's side of the family, my cousins and uncles and aunties, they all rodeoed, and they got, I guess we call them properties in Australia, but you guys call them ranches. So they all live on them back home and that. So that's sort of where it come from.
That makes sense. Yeah. So growing up, like, your family had cattle and things like that.
My mom and dad didn't, but all dad's side of the family, they did and stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And so you kind of started, and you saw this bull riding thing, and you're like, I think I could do that.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much. Yeah. And then
I guess it wasn't until I was a bit older that I really wanted to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. When was like the decisive moment you're like, you know what, I'm going to hop on the ferry and go to the U.S., mate?
I always wanted to, but I didn't really know how to. And then in 2015, when I started doing high school rodeos at home, because it's not that big, and they were taking the top 3 from each event over to the junior high school finals over here. And I made that at home, and mum and dad had a bit of a talk about it. And when I made it, they decided they'd bring me over here for a couple of weeks. So they did.
Okay. And then you're like, Mom, Dad, I got to tell you something. I'm not coming back.
Well, I had to go back, but a year later, I decided I wanted to come back again for them youth bull riding finals. And they had a talk again. They let me come back. And then it sort of went from there.
Did you have to convince them at all, or was it more like, son, boy, what do they call their, is it son?
No, they,
like, what's the term? Like my dad, it was always like, son, what was it for you?
I don't know. They didn't really call me anything. They're like, I don't know. They just said, well, if you're going to go over there, you're paying for it yourself, I guess.
Really?
Yeah.
So there wasn't a whole lot of financial support for you when you got here.
They said, if I can pay my way, they'll pay their way and take me.
Yeah.
So I just had to find the money for myself.
Yeah, makes sense. Was it similar for you? Did you get some support from your parents, Colton?
Definitely I did. Like, growing up, I was fortunate enough that we'd buy practice bulls, you know, around or really the U.S. We'd travel wherever we need to, so I could have bulls in my backyard where I could learn from them, you know, instead of driving an hour or two down the road and not knowing what I was going to get on. I, you know, kind of matured a lot faster, you know, having that kind of necessity at my house, and just grew up better like that. And then really, once I head to college, they're like, you know, we can't really help you anymore because, you know, you're grown now. So, you know, it's all for you to make up. And, you know, that's another stepping curve to just do it all for myself pretty much.
Right, right. Yeah, having that support when you're growing up I mean, it can definitely be an advantage in anything. So you probably have a lot of respect for Kai, knowing that he kind of just came over here with a suitcase, right?
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting way to do it. When you got here and it was like time to get going, I mean, did you have a plan or did you just kind of fly by the seat of your pants to get after it?
No, I had a bit of a plan. I wanted to pro rodeo while I was going to college. And so I just started entering the ones in Texas because that's where I was. And then last year when I was on my permit over the summer, I decided to go up north because there wasn't a whole lot on down in Texas. So I just sort of picked the smaller ones because I kind of didn't really know much about where everything was and that and whether I'd get into the bigger ones and that. And so I kind of had a bit of a plan and I just wanted to enter, so.
Yeah. Yeah, was it kind of a reality check realizing that you could put in for big rodeos and not get into them? You know, was it kind of depressing when that happened or did you even try to enter those big rodeos?
Yeah, at the start of the year, I entered like Fort Worth and a few of them and I was on my permit and I didn't get into any of them and that. And I was sort of like, oh, I might have to do some of these smaller ones and make sure I stay on to get some money one. And then over the summer, I didn't enter a whole lot of the big ones because I didn't know where they were. I think I remember I drove through Colorado Springs going to a rodeo in Wyoming and didn't even know it was on there. And so, I mean, I had a bit of hell last year with it, but...
Yeah. Were you traveling by yourself most of the last year?
Most of last year I was, yeah.
Yeah. So. And so you guys didn't start going together until this year.
This year.
So, I mean, how many rodeos did you guys even get to go to?
Maybe the most, what, 10?
Probably. At that?
Yeah.
Right around there.
Yeah.
Not very many.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of this whole coronavirus thing is like crushed a lot of people's dreams.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, I saw this funny thing about Shad Mayfield. It was like the only thing to keep Shad Mayfield from winning the world, coronavirus. I mean, this is how a lot of people probably feel. But, I mean, did you expect, I mean, both of you guys, I mean, you won Odessa and you've done really well. Did you expect to kind of, for 2020, to start so well for you, for either of you?
Yeah, I guess we both got our cards and we were going to go hard at it. So we knew if we showed up and done our jobs, it'd pay off. So.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, I mean, definitely looks like it did.
Yeah, I knew I set my goal this year pretty high, and I knew, like, once it started, I was just, that's all I was going to have my mind on pretty much, and that's what I was going to do, and it was going to happen, you know.
Let's kind of back up a little bit and talk about, like, a funny story maybe that you have about him and vice versa, because, I mean, there's got to be, any guys who travel together probably have some embarrassing shit they can say about the other, and Colton's laughing his butt off over here. Let's hear it.
No, Kai, you start.
I got heaps.
Let's go. That's what the gauge is all about.
I don't know. This probably isn't really a story, but I've gotten pretty good at showing up and putting my gear on and getting on my bull. I used to like being there a bit early and chilling, but seems going with Colton, there's no such thing as warming up. You just throw your gear on and get on.
Does that mean that you guys are late?
Yeah.
What are you, a late sleeper? What's the deal there?
No, it just happens. You know? I
guess.
I don't know.
We always leave
early enough. But yeah. But the time when we stop and get gas, it just adds up. I don't know. It's always been like that with me.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Show up about the bronc ride and you'll be all right.
You're not late until they turn you
exactly,
out.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. The way that you are, I could tell he's super analytical.
Oh yeah.
That drives you nuts, huh?
It does.
Yeah.
I've gotten better at it.
He made us late one time.
Did he?
Oh yeah. So
and that was like
it
Christmas
was this
for
year.
You.
It was this year. Well, kind of. It was this year we were heading to. He went up to Billings to go up there just by himself. I hadn't entered it. And so I stayed down here in Texas because I was going to pick him up from DFW.
Uh-huh.
And then we're going to go to Henderson, Texas the next day. So I pick him up. His flight gets in at like 3 or something. And then from there to Henderson was like another 3 hours. So if we left right on the money, we'd be there about 5, 6 o'clock, you know. Well, his flight got delayed and all this stuff. And so I'm waiting on him out front. And I get him picked up. And we get out here. And, I mean, we hit bumper-to-bumper traffic for a good hour and a half.
Oh, it's DFW.
And I said, hey, I want to make sure there's no two sections, you know, because sometimes a buck bull's like the start and then the end. He gets on his callback on his email, and he's like, show it to me. And I'm driving, and I'm just glared at it. He's like, yeah, there's just one section. I'm like, all right, righto. Like, we don't have, like, if we're in the first section, we could call ProCon off and say, hey, move to the second section because we're running late. So we show up probably 10 minutes, like about 7:40, if it started at 7:30, with our gear bags in our hand, kind of hustling to get there. And they're like, I think they already bucked your bulls. And I'm like, no way. Because I had a, we both had really good bulls. And I was like, there's no way. And I go up to the secretary and they're like, yeah, you're in the first section. So I get over to Kai and I said, show me your email. And sure enough, it said we were in section one. And I'll never let him live it down ever. And we had to sit there through that whole dang thing and watch it. And it just ate us up.
Oh, my goodness. And what was the excuse?
I didn't really have one.
Yeah. Was speechless.
I guess I didn't read my callback stuff.
I mean, everybody's probably got a story like that, but Colton could hold that against you forever probably because you're the opposite of that, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh, I tell him every time we go somewhere, like, you make sure we're, you know, what section we in. He gets all sour about it.
Yeah, so you're living at Cody Lambert's place, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's that like?
It's pretty good. I get off, go to the gyms in the morning in Decatur there, and then go back there and hang out there the rest of the day and do whatever has to be done and hang out. It's pretty good.
What kind of a, like, training wise, what are you guys doing for your training? I mean, do you have a trainer? I know you've just said you did, but I mean, what does that consist of? Because for me, that's what excites me the most about the bull riding and a lot of the rough stock that maybe some of the timies or timed events, they don't really train that much, but you guys train your asses off. And what kind of stuff do you guys do?
I guess just staying in shape, and I guess staying in shape helps with your longevity and helps prevent injuries, and then if you do get injured, it sort of helps get over it quicker.
Yeah, you bounce back quicker.
But that sort of stuff.
In particular, like, what type of stuff are you doing?
I wrestled when I was younger, so I took a lot of workouts from them. Like, I just work on a lot of core and cardio, a lot of that, and, you know, did a little bit, like, keep tone. You know, you don't want to get big and bulky because then you'll be like a brick up there. You can't move, you know. So if you kind of stay lean and real athletic, I think it helps a lot for me.
Right. Right. Yeah. Do they have you on like a regimen, a schedule? Are you working out 3 times a week, 4 times a week? Is it even structured like that for you guys?
I guess when I'm not going into Decatur, it's sort of just work out whenever I feel like it.
Right.
But like, I go into Decatur there 4 times a week, and we usually work out every day. Some days are a little harder than others, but usually about 4 times a week.
Right. Yeah, and with all the, like, quarantining, right? I mean, how's that affect, aside from rodeo, how's that affected your guys' lives? Like, you guys going nuts, or is it pretty well the same for you guys?
I'm ready to go somewhere.
I'm ready to pull the trigger. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, it's eat me up, this thing working normal. I don't like it back home, so, but it's all right. Make you want it a lot more
when
you come back to it, I think.
Yeah. And, I mean, did either of you guys hear back on Cheyenne or anything like that yet?
I haven't heard about Cheyenne.
I seen on Facebook that it's still a go.
That's what they're
yesterday
saying.
Yesterday I seen that, so I sure hope that one's a go.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Good. That's like the shining light for rodeo right now. Normally people are like kind of cussing Cheyenne. That is not the case now.
No, definitely not.
It's actually pretty exciting because I think they're saying they'll do the concerts and everything.
Yeah, I seen that too.
Yeah.
I think Cave Creek's the first one we've entered, Cave Creek, Arizona.
Arizona, yeah.
That's the end of the month.
22nd, yeah.
Yeah.
I think they got 3,000 added in the bull riding, and there's 45 entries.
They had 85 guys enter that thing.
Really? Did they really?
They're just taking 45.
Yeah. That's not a big rodeo. No. They affect the town of Cave Creek. That's like Rifle.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually nice there, but.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But kind of circling back, you kind of told your story about Kai. Kai is trying to avoid his story about you. I can't figure out why that is. It must be bad.
You probably don't got a lot of them.
Really?
No.
Other than just you being late?
Yeah, I think that's about it.
Yeah. Oh. Time he told the girl that where were we at?
What?
That Oh, I can't remember. That restaurant where you get on the saddle.
Oh,
and they
Texas Roadhouse.
Told all the girls in there that it was my birthday, and it actually wasn't. Got embarrassed pretty bad.
Yeah, I could tell that you're the guy who gets embarrassed. Yeah. So how did you do? You just walked up to the waitress like, it's his birthday.
Yeah, pretty much. Like,
it's
she
his
didn't
14th
believe,
birthday.
She didn't believe me a whole lot because she knew it was a joke. You know, I said, I'll give you a good tip. You know what I mean? And luckily, we're like the last people in there. It was after a rodeo up north, and it was late. And sure enough, there were about three or four of them came over there and wished him happy birthday. And he got as red as that dang wall right there.
Did they sing a song or anything?
Happy birthday.
The whole day.
Oh, they
show.
Called me. They called him me. They thought his name was Colton.
Did you get free cake?
No, we didn't, did we?
He wanted
to
get out of there so quick.
I wanted to get out of there so quick. But when we walked into that place, the old girl that was standing at the check-in deal, she was pretty happy about Colton being in there. We all walked in with our bull bags. And she's like just staring at Colton, and I'm looking at her, and we're like, can we get a table for three guys? And she's just looking at Colton as if like, I don't know. Man of her dreams has just walked in or something. And we're trying to ask her if we can put our bags somewhere while we eat dinner and that, and she's just plain staring into Colton's eyes, and I'm like,
wait, so the way you're describing this is you're talking to her and she's kind of just looking at Colton and not speaking?
We were both trying to talk to her and she was just looking at Colton and not speaking.
Really?
So
I tend to have that effect.
So was there like a culmination to this story? Did you get her number? Are you still in touch with her now?
No.
You're not?
No.
So she was not a looker?
No.
So you're not actually proud of this.
No.
So that's why we're trying to wrap this part of the story
Yeah.
Yeah, so if that happens a lot, is it really hard being around Don Juan over here, Colton from Rifle? Guys from Rifle usually don't have that effect on women.
Oh.
Come on.
I'm not surprised. You just got to look at him to know that.
That kind of goes against what he just said.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just the bull rider thing. You know, hey, baby, I'm a bull rider. And at a Texas Roadhouse, yeah, that might work. Maybe not in a Starbucks, but at a Texas Roadhouse.
Yeah.
Boy, that escalated quickly.
Okay, so with the rodeos kind of coming to a halt, being number three in the world, number 16 in the world, I mean, obviously the goal is Vegas. Is it kind of both of your guys' goals to go the PBR route, or are you guys kind of wanting to stick in the PRCA for a while?
Next year I'd like to probably do more PBRs. I still want a rodeo too. Like, I'm just one of them guys right now that just want to enter everywhere I can. And so I'll still rodeo next year, but the focus might be a bit more towards the PBR finals.
Really?
But yeah.
Is that how you feel too, Colton? Or?
Yeah, I'll probably do. I'm kind of one or the other kind of
really?
Guy. Yeah, so next year I'll probably go then PBRs and see how I do there, and then just kind of make my decision up after that, I'd reckon.
Sure. I mean, as it sits right now, going into summer with nobody really having many rodeos, I mean, I guess you don't really know. We don't even really know what's going to happen with Vegas, but it seems like the both of you probably have a pretty good chance of making it to, you know, to the NFR, which is a big goal, but it seems like transition to the PBR. I mean, do you guys see the PBR as like the pinnacle, like most people do, or?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's, you're getting on ranked bulls every weekend. And, I mean, rodeo, you're getting on ranked bulls too. You just might not hit them one after another kind of deal, but, you do a lot of miles rodeo and you do a lot of events rodeo on too.
Yeah.
I think, you know, there's obviously pros and cons with the both of them, but I think, you know, the PBR, you're gone every weekend, you know, like rodeo, and you're gone dang near every day of the week when you're going hard, you know, so you don't get a lot of home time. And I, you know, back home, you know, I'm working on a place right now, so think about it, I wouldn't have enough time, as much time rodeoing as I did going in PBRs as I would, you know, vice versa. So with the if you went to the PBR, I do think there's more time. And I think, you know, the sponsors, the media there, you know, you can kind of get out yourself out there a lot more. And like Kai said, the Ranker Bulls, like, you know, it's a good deal, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the PBR is really exciting. You know, rodeo's exciting too. It's just the way they structure them is so different.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
And that's why you guys, being in the event you are pretty lucky to have two outlets, especially if you're talented guys like both you are.
Yeah, right. I think the one thing I do like more about rodeoing, though, is, like, when you go, you're, like, at a different place every time. You know, like Pendleton, Calgary, Cheyenne. You know, you get different atmospheres and different people everywhere you go, you know what I mean? And yeah. I think that's pretty cool.
There's so much history in those in those big rodeos that have been around for ages, like before we were even born. And that's pretty cool to go back and you, all the guys you looked up to rode at them events. And
yeah.
It's pretty cool.
The most favorite thing I like this summer is Cheyenne. You go back there in them locker rooms on them steps, and they'll make you like a little sign for you when you win it with your name and what year. And they're just, the seats back there are just filled with gold-plated signs, you know, of champions. And your heroes are on there, you know what I mean? And it's like, you know, my heroes were in the same footsteps as I was, you know, so makes you ride up even more, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it is exciting. And like you said, longer than our grandparents have been alive for places like Cheyenne. I mean, you walk into that place and it's almost unbelievable. Mm-hmm. It's like walking to like Yankee Stadium or something. It's such a rich history. And Cheyenne, Calgary, you said Penn, I mean, those represent the pinnacles of rodeo. And it's like, we all love this sport and have people who love this sport, and being a part of that culture in those places, competing, or even just viewing it, like you get a feeling at those places that you just don't get anywhere else. Yeah. That the PBR is awesome, but you can't duplicate that history with anything but pro rodeo. Yes, and it's probably the most fulfilling thing in the world when you go into one of those places and you feel that, you know.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yep.
So talking about here, I mean, who inspired you, Colton, to pursue this? Like, is there one person who's like the standout in your mind who you're like, if it wasn't for that guy, I don't know that I would be a bull rider, or I wouldn't have been inspired to be a bull rider?
Right, definitely my dad. You know, yeah. I was about 7 years old. I told him I started riding bulls, and my mom had some rope and steers, and that's kind of where it all started, you know. And you know, everybody goes through them times where they think it might not be for them. You know, you go through slumps all the time, and my dad was the one to kind of push me through it. But he knew enough. He kind of let me figure it out on my own, because he knew he wasn't going to be there in my back pocket the whole time, you know. So definitely my dad, you know. And like I said, he was the one who kind of started buying practice bulls for me, and we kind of got in that business together and everything. And so that'd be him.
Yeah. Yeah, what about you, Kai?
Yeah, same kind of deal. My dad, I looked up to him, and that's sort of why I wanted to start riding, is to be like my dad. And then same sort of deal, he got me into it, and then I got a bit older, and Troy Dunn lived just down the road from me. So when I got serious about it, I went and spent a bit of time with him and learned a few more things. And then coming over here, that's sort of the guy I looked up to, is Troy, and wanted to be the Australian guy and come over here and do well too. So.
Yeah, yeah, because it's not like there's a lot of Brazilians, totally. Australians, not a ton, right?
Yeah, there's been a handful of guys that have come over here and done well.
Yeah. But I mean, it's got to be a really daunting thing to come from any other place to a different country. I mean, could you, Colton, imagine going from the U.S. to Australia to pursue a career?
I couldn't.
Yeah.
Not knowing anybody like he kind of did, you know, coming over here blind, you know.
Yeah.
Just, you know, coming to a college that he didn't know a lot about, you know, other than what they had told him about it. Yeah, it'd be different for me. I give him a lot of credit for it.
Yeah. Yeah, because even just looking at the map, like, just looking at the map, you're probably like, you didn't even know where to start, you know? Yeah.
Like I said, I missed a lot of rodeos. I drove past a few last year.
You didn't have a Garmin?
No.
Yeah. Just going with the breeze?
Yeah.
Kind of thing? Yeah, I get it. Yeah. But so, I mean, it's got to be fun having a travel partner now. I can't imagine that stress, you know, or the feeling of especially if you're, because for you, it sounds like it was so important to win checks.
Yeah.
right? Like no financial backing. And I mean, it sounds like the case for both of you, and that's for a lot of rough stock people actually have to kind of toe that line more than some of the others. And I mean, if you spend entry money and miss the rodeo, I mean, you were probably as stressed as can be.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't miss any. I nearly did this year with him, but but yeah, I guess it was just making sure you entered so that you can win money, and then realizing you just drove past a rodeo to go to another one that you could have done. It was like, are you for real? Like, are you that dumb?
Have you guys seen that Instagram page, Rodeo Rex? Do you guys ever look at that Instagram page?
I've seen it before.
Yeah, yeah, that's some pretty funny. You want to pull some of those up, Ty? I was just thinking about that. They have a lot of bull riding ones on there. Yeah, yeah. I don't know if you guys.
That's
I'm like
me.
Is that really you?
Yeah.
That is you?
Yeah. That is.
Who's the guy getting knocked on the ground?
They're at McCamey, and that's his bull, and he wanted me to get on him that day, and that's how that ended up with him on the ground. Yeah, that ain't very good. I've never seen that before.
No?
No, that's the first time I've seen it.
What, between the two of you guys, like, if people were unobjectively going to sit there, and who's a better bull rider, Colton or Kai?
Depends on the day.
Depends on the bull.
Depends on the bull.
And you're both super confident guys, so is this going to go to blows?
Probably.
Yeah, Colton. I'd say, yeah.
Colton wrestled, so.
Yeah, he don't know how to wrestle.
Do they have wrestling in Australia? Not like collegiate, maybe?
No, not like they do over here. They have like karate and boxing and that sort of stuff. So, I mean, he's got to get me to the ground first.
Well, yeah, because karate works. Before we started rolling, we started talking about some funny stuff. Kai, why don't you start telling the story you were talking about from Vegas for Colton here?
Should I involve
his eyes
girlfriend?
Are huge.
I probably shouldn't.
Current girlfriend?
No.
What?
No. I'll tell you one. So we flew in. We're leaving Vegas actually that next morning, and we had to fly out. I don't know. We probably had a 5 o'clock flight or 6 o'clock flight. And I mean, we had to get there pretty early.
We didn't get but 2 hours of sleep.
Oh, yeah. It was bad. Anyway, he goes through the airport security first. And I'd been messing with him. You know, like he's got a rolling gear bag, and every once in a while I'll kick it. And then he's got to resettle it, and it takes him a little while because he's got a bunch of crap in his bag. Anyway, so he goes through airport security first in the line, and I'm like the last one in line. He takes my boot. Just one boot, and takes off with it. And I'm still in this line, like, I'm putting my hat on, my, you know, making sure I got everything, and I can't find my boot. And sure enough, I look across the way, and, I mean, Kai is moving now. I mean, he's on the other side, and he's got my boot, and he's laughing. Anyway, I get over there, and it's over kind of by that food court, and there were some pillars. Like, I don't know how tall they were. I mean, you see how tall he is. He could just reach up, but me, I had to get a... He put on top of that dang pillar, he threw it up there, so I had to go get a chair and drag it over there and get it. So then this other buddy of ours had some biscuits and gravy that morning, and he was pretty tired. I mean, he was out of it. And he sleeps with his dang mouth open. And I had this biscuits and gravy, and I got a big scoop of biscuit and gravy, and I stuck it right in front of his mouth, and I hollered at him like he was late for his flight, and, I mean, it got all over his face. He was chapped. And then this is what these pranks we do all the time, but I go to the bathroom or something, and I come back, and he has taken my groin wrap out and my tape, and he's taped, like, he took all my crap out of my bag, and he taped it on the outside so everybody could see it. And, I mean, it's taped on there. Like, he used all my tape, and I was like, are you kidding me? I don't know if I got him back after that one. I'm still thinking what I'm going to do. But
no, and then I was nice enough to save you a spot on the plane and look after you.
So he made up for it.
Yeah.
I really want to circle back to the girlfriend thing, though. I'm just not going to be able to let that go.
Oh, yeah, we better tell it.
Come on.
So we're driving back from Fort Mohave, Extreme Bulls, and there was a bunch of guys in Vegas, because that's where we flew in and out of, and so we were going to go back there and hang out with them, because I think Tuff Hederman had a bull riding on in there the same night. So we're going back there, and And he was up in the American qualifiers the very next day. It's on Sunday. And we're like, well, everyone's at the South Point, so let's all go to the South Point. And Colton's on the phone to his girlfriend, and Colton's like, I might go have a few drinks. And I said, that's probably not a good idea. You got to ride tomorrow, Colton. So then his girlfriend's like, yeah, Colton, that's probably not a good idea. You can't be doing that. Rah, rah, rah. And then Colton doesn't like being told what to do. So he told his girlfriend what he thought, and then it just escalated from there. And that didn't go down too well, did it?
No.
That escalated quickly.
Yeah, it did. I'm telling you.
And he said not current girlfriend. Was it a similar situation and it's a relationship?
No. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that was a day.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. But, it's pretty exciting what you guys have going on. You guys are a cool couple of guys, and I'm telling you, I want the best for you guys going down the road. Kai, Colton, you guys have a huge bright future, and I can't wait till you're old enough to drink and actually be on here. But it was great having you guys, and as soon as rodeo gets going, I mean, we're here at the Gage are going to be cheering you guys on, and I think we'll see you both at Vegas. But the best to you guys, and thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
This has been The Gage, hosted by me, Chance Conrado, produced and edited by our guy, Ty Yeager. Shout out to the executive producers, Dustin Pointer and Cody Denton. Marketing and content produced by Casey Burke. Our theme song is by Shay Ashire and the Night Howlers. Make sure to rate and review this podcast, as well as follow The Gage on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And make sure to subscribe to The Gage wherever you get your podcast. We'll see you guys next time.